The dance over, Simon guides me from the floor. Dizzy, I stumble slightly. My hand reaches for purchase in something solid and finds the broad expanse of Simon's chest. My fingers curl around the white petals of the rose on his lapel.
Steady there. I say, Miss Doyle, are you quite all right?
I smile. Oh, yes, quite. I cannot speak or feel my body, but I am so absolutely lovely. Please leave me here. I smile. Petals fall away, twirling softly to the floor in their own spiral dance. The palm of my glove is stained with the sticky residue of the rose. I cannot seem to figure out how it got there or what to do about it. This strikes me as unbearably humorous, and I find I am laughing.
Steady there,
Simon says, applying a bit of pressure at my wrist. The pain brings me back to my senses slightly. He walks me past the large potted ferns near the doorway and behind an ornate folding screen. In its creases I can see fractions of the ballroom whirling past. We are hidden, but could be discovered here. I should be alarmed, but I am not. I don't care.
Gemma,
Simon says. His lips graze me just below my earlobe. They trace a moist arc down the hollow of my neck. My head is warm and heavy. Everything in me feels swollen and ripe. The room is still doing its swirling dance of lights, but the sounds of the party are muffled and far away. It's Simon's voice that floats inside me.
Gemma, Gemma, you are an elixir.
He presses against me. I don't know if it's the absinthe or something deeper, something I can't describe, but I am sinking inside myself with no wish to stop.
Come with me,
he whispers. It echoes in my head. He's got my arm, leading me as if we were ready to dance. Instead, he walks me out of the ballroom and upstairs, away from the party. He brings me into a small attic room, the maid's room, I think. It is mostly dark, lit only by a candle. It's as if I have no will of my own. I sink onto the bed, marvelling at how my hands look in the candlelight, as if they are not my own, somehow. Simon sees me staring at my hands. He begins to unbutton my glove. At the opening, he kisses the tiny blue veins pulsing there. I want to tell him to stop. The haze of the absinthe clears a bit. I am alone with Simon. He is kissing my bare wrist. We shouldn't be here. Shouldn't. I want to go back.
Shh, Gemma.
He removes my glove. My naked skin feels so strange.
My mother likes you. We'd make a fine match, don't you think?
Think? I can't think. He begins to remove the other glove. My body arches, goes tight. Oh, God, it's happening. It's happening. Over the rounded bow of Simon's back, I see the room shimmering, feel my body tensing with the vision I can't keep out. The last thing I hear is Simon's concerned voice saying,
Gemma, Gemma.
And then I'm falling into that black hole. The three girls in white, they float just beyond Simon.
We found it. We found the temple. Look and see.
I'm following them quickly through the realms to the top of a hill. I can hear cries. Fast, we're going fast. The hill falls away, and there is the most magnificent cathedral I've ever seen. It shimmers like a mirage. The temple.
Hurry, the girls whisper, before they find it.
Behind them, dark clouds gather. Wind blows their hair about their pale, shadowed faces. Something's coming. Something's coming up behind them. It rises up and over them like a dark phoenix, a great black winged creature. The girls don't look, they don't see, but I do. It opens its wings till they fill the sky, revealing the thing inside, a churning horror of faces crying out. And then I'm screaming.
Gemma! Gemma!
It's Simon's voice I hear calling me back. His hand is over my mouth to stop my screams.
I'm sorry, I meant no harm.
Hurriedly, he hands me back my gloves. It takes me a moment to come back into the room to realize that Simon was kissing my bare shoulders and that he thinks the screams are over this. I am still woozy from the drink, but now I feel as if I shall be ill. I vomit into the maid's washbasin. Simon rushes to bring me a towel. I am mortified, and my head aches. I am also shaking all over, both from the vision and from what has happened between us.
Should I send for someone?
Simon asks. He stands in the doorway, coming no closer. I shake my head. No, thank you. I wish to return to the ball.
Yes, at once,
Simon says, sounding afraid and relieved at the same time. I want to explain to him, but how can I? And so we walk down the stairs in silence. At the first floor he leaves me. The bell is rung for supper, and I simply fall in with the other ladies.